Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Thank you, Paul, for your welcome. Such a long way to come. I nearly packed my lunch. But I heard there was a good morning tea on after, so that will suffice. Very blowy and windy on the western fringes of Canberra. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. These statements are part of Jesus' final commandments to his disciples on the night he was arrested and taken away to be crucified. So clearly we need to read into this passage Jesus' own sacrifice, his own love for his disciples, and indeed for all humanity, for which he was willing to lay down his own life. Yet he also made it clear that these words are for his followers and by extension for us here today. The coming of Jesus changed the way in which God relates to us and the way in which we relate to one another. Because of Jesus, we are no longer slave or servants of God, but we've been drawn into a friendship through the love of Jesus. He has chosen us to be his followers, his disciples, his friends. And from that he commissions us to bear good fruit, fruit that will last so this love can continue to infiltrate the world. This command to love can't be watered down to an experience of gentle good feelings towards one another. If it's modelled upon the love of Jesus flowing from his loving initiative in calling us and making us his friends, it's a love that suffers all, even to the point of death. To love, as Jesus asks of us, means to lay down one's life for the other, to give our all, and to be there for others, no matter how difficult that may be. We are no longer servants of Jesus doing what he tells us in some vague sense of loyal obedience. We are his friends. We are people who are loved by him with a love that should parallel his love and his love for his Father and for us. This is the nature of true friendship. We are chosen by Christ. We have this great gift of Christian love to share in a broken world and amongst the needy in our neighbourhood. And the maintenance of that gift, so we don't lose it, is our relationship with Jesus, and we need to abide in him always. God rewards those who seek him, not those who seek doctrine or religion or systems or creeds. Many settle for these lesser possessions or passions, but the reward goes to those who settle for nothing less than Jesus himself. And what is that reward? What awaits us who seek Jesus? Nothing short of the heart of Jesus, that's our reward. As we read in 2 Corinthians 3:18, as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him. When I try and describe this love of God for us, the closest I can come to comes from the words of that wonderful hymn, which I'm sure you all know, The Great Love of God. It says, "The great love of God, oh how lavishly given, the pearl of great price, the treasure of heaven." A love lavishly given, with the value and richness of a pearl, a true treasure above all price. You know, when we grasp the magnitude, the depth, the core of this great love, then and only then do we know what it is to be filled with joy. This fierce love that Jesus has for us, that we are to model to others, is a command to all, regardless of race, position, social or economic status. Indeed, the love of God clearly has a preference for those who have little or nothing. Yet this love is strong regardless. God's love is a love that takes reality as it is, that strengthens the heart for those things that must be done. It's a love that makes its home in us in whatever state it finds us, and it enables us to love others in a way as natural as breathing. God wants us to be just like Jesus. He wants us to have a heart like his. We can read lots of statements about friendship as people try to define it. In my attempt to define friendship, I come up with respect, faithfulness, trust, loyalty, fun, guidance, companionship, someone who cares enough to be there for me in all circumstances. Some people try and define friendship in a line of sentiment or poetry with statements like, "Friends are the flowers that bloom in God's garden." Or like this, "Some people come into our lives and leave footprints on our hearts and we're never the same again." The book of Sirach in the Apocrypha, chapter 6, talks about false and true friendship. Verse 14 says, "A faithful friend is a sure shelter. Whoever finds one has found a treasure." The greatest gift any human being can give another is true Christian love and friendship. To have someone we can go to at any time, knowing that they will not laugh at our dreams or misunderstand our confidences, is a most wonderful thing. I wonder what true friendship means to you, and I wonder how you would define friendship. In some of my lighter reading, I'll pick up a book by Max Lucado, Christian author and pastor. He says in one of his books titled On the Anvil, he talks about George and Ralph, who were standing together when George said to me, "Here is my most valued possession." "Where?" I asked. "Here," said George, putting his big arm around Ralph's bony shoulders. "My most valued possession is my buddy Ralph." A new set of wrinkles appeared on Ralph's face as he smiled a toothless grin. Old friends, Jordan, George and Ralph, two travellers on the back of life's tough side, had found life's most precious element, a friendship. Friends are one of our most precious possessions in the world, friends who love us for who we are. We can put all sorts of descriptions on friendship, but George does it best. "My most valued possession is my buddy, my friend." What matters most in life is not what ladders we climb or possessions we acquire. What matters most is love and friendship. Jesus knew the value of friendship, and it was through friendship that he changed the world. He touched your heart and mind with the hand of friendship. Christianity does not thrive on personality or power, but on praising the value of love and friendship. Jesus built bridges and crossed them, touching the leper, uniting the stranger, liberating the prostitute. And what was that he said about loving your neighbour as yourself? And for us, Jesus offers us the ultimate friendship, the ultimate relationship that stretches beyond life itself into eternal life. Now it is so that some friendships don't last. Loyalties and trust are broken. But as we read in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, it says, "Not all friendships last, but some friends are more loyal than brothers." When I read that, it reminded me of a song which many of you no doubt would be familiar with, called Two Little Boys. I think it expresses what deep and trusting, loyal friendship is. I'm not going to sing it, but I'll read a verse. Two little boys had two little toys, each had a wooden horse. Gaily they played each summer's day, warriors both, of course. One little chap then had a mishap, broke off his horse's head, wept for his horse, then cried for joy, as his young playmate said. Do you think I would leave you crying when there's room on my horse for two? Climb up here, Jack, and don't be crying. I can just go just as fast with two. The verses go on to express this scenario in their future on the battlefield of war. And when one of them lay wounded, and in the distance, amidst the noise of the battle, the wounded one heard a familiar voice. Do you think I would leave you dying when there's room on my horse for two? Love, friendship can be captured in so many stories, but the true source of that friendship comes from God's command to us to love one another. Our heroes of the faith throughout history show us by the way they live their lives what it is to love as Jesus loved, to lay down their lives for others. People for me like Mother Teresa of Calcutta, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the Christian martyrs of New Guinea. There are many, many hundreds more that stand head and shoulders above the majority of us. Yet we also here in this parish show great love and friendship through the ministries that we have, through the outreach committee, the community lunches, the holistic care nursing program, Covenant Care, and various other ministries in this place, offering friendship and love in the name of Jesus, doing as he has asked for us, of us. And I think of the 12 Christians recently beheaded by ISIS. One of them prayed a prayer as they were about to be executed, recorded in the Egyptian Christian Diocesan newspaper, and he prayed something like this: they can humiliate us, they can abuse us, they can slander our belief, they can chop our head off, but they cannot separate us from the love of Jesus. And as the knife raised to bring about their death, he said, here we come, Lord Jesus. Amen. These 12 men and thousands like them gave their lives for the love of Jesus and for all Christians. Because of their courage and their show of such a strong faith, we are strengthened in our belief, our faith in Jesus. And somehow, such courage affirms all of that, and it unites us as one body in Christ. Now, the ancient Greeks believed in a totally isolated, passionless, and uncompassionate God. What a different picture Jesus gave. He showed us a God whose heart is wrung with anguish for the anguish of his people. It's the mission of Jesus' life to bring life to humanity. What a friend. We sing many songs that reflect Jesus' friendship. I think one of the first hymns I learnt as a child from my memory, I think it was the first Sunday school, what a friend we have in Jesus. And the beautiful song, Jesus, Friend Forever. Sometimes words might fail to convince people of God's love, but there's no argument against God in action. Theologian Tom Wright says in his commentary, following Jesus is a personal relationship of love and loyalty to the one who has loved us more than we can begin to imagine. And the test of that love and loyalty remains the simple, profound, dangerous, and difficult command: love one another. Jesus is the friend we look to with awe, reverence, and deep regard. A friend that we get on our knees for because we adore him. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, he is our comforter, advocate, and guide, our companion, our saviour. He has given us all various gifts and abilities, so let us use them to care for others and help others to discover the love of Jesus as their friend. Let's accept his love, listen to his truth, and bear his fruit. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.